Thank you, Paulina, for putting us on the stream. This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board, and this is the regular open session meeting of the Pacifica National Board on Thursday, August 4th, 2022. It is 8:36 p.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. And the first order of business after that is the roll call. Marianna Dane, would you please call the roll?
I will do so. Excuse me. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Good. I take it Bert Cohen is not. Jim Dingaman.
Here.
Good. Vanessa Dix-Briggs. Okay. Sue Goodwin. Not good. Heather Gray.
Here.
Good. Donna Grimes. I hear nothing. Evelia Jones. I hear nothing. Ali Lexa.
Here.
Good. Marianne Martinez.
Present.
Good. James McFadden. James McFadden. I hear nothing. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Good. Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Bueno. Sean Rhodes.
Here.
Good. James Sagerton.
Here.
Good. Sharon Salam. Sharon? Okay. Akio Tanaka.
Here.
Good. Mark von Landout.
Here.
Good. Beth von Gunten.
Here.
Good. Egberto Willis. Egberto? Hearing nothing. Susan Young.
Here.
Good. Julie Hewitt. You were here.
I am here.
Good. Let me go around one more time. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs. Anyone know what's happening there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Sue Goodwin. Okay, I hear nothing. Donna Grimes. More nothing. Evelia Jones. More nothing. James McFadden. More nothing. Sharon Salam. More nothing. Egberto Willis. And again, more nothing. Okay, to staff. Stephanie Wells.
Stephanie is not going to be with us this evening. She has a medical excuse.
Got it. Okay. Julia Kennard.
Julia is also probably running a few minutes late because of her son's football team.
Okay, but she is expected then.
Yes.
Okay. Paulina Vasiliev.
I'm here.
Good. Is Arthur Schwartz expected during the open meeting? Okay, I'm hearing nothing.
I'm not certain.
Okay. John Tatum.
I'm here.
Good. And I am here. I believe we have a quorum.
All right. The next item on the agenda is reading out the report out from the closed session of July 28th. And that report out is: the PNB met in closed session to discuss confidential personnel, legal, and financial matters. Okay, the next item out of the preliminaries is excused absences.
Move to excuse everybody.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Aki. Are there any objections to the motion to excuse those who are not present? Hearing no objections, those absences are excused. Folks, we've gotten some complaints from people listening to the stream that we don't name all the people who aren't present. So, Marianne, would you read through the names of those people who are not present so that we satisfy the folks on the stream, even though some of those people wind up showing up later and wind up not really being excused absences. But would you please read them names, please?
Yes. Okay. Bert Cohen, Sue Goodwin, Donna Grimes, Evelia Jones, James McFadden, Sharon Salam, and Egberto Willis.
Thank you.
Chair, James with a question.
Go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
Is that really necessary despite who may have asked for it? I mean, we just took the role. We know who didn't respond.
It seems silly, but, you know, there you go. Now I can't be accused of not doing it, right? Everybody knows what they failed to object to the motion about, okay? Next item, identifying timekeepers. I need a timekeeper for people.
I'll do it, Julie. This is Heather.
Thank you, Heather. And I need a timekeeper for agenda items. Anyone?
Darlene raised her hand.
Darlene, thank you very much. All right. So after that, we have a 10-minute item, which is agenda approval. After that, we approve minutes of the last week's open session. That's a 3-minute item. Number 4 is a CFO and report and Q&A. That's a 15-minute item. After that comes a bunch of committee reports. We have the audit committee down for 20 minutes, coordinating for 3, finance for 3, governance for 3, elections for 3, programming for 10, but that may change, strategic planning for 3, personnel for 3, development task force for 5, COVID-19 task force for 3, and technology task force for 5. Then we have unfinished business Pauline and I had some notes to each other, and we apparently clobbered the time that we may have had in there, but we have a whole bunch of holdover motions from last week that I think the number is 5, and so that's probably a 50-minute item. Number 7 is new business, and that's a 10-minute item, and then 8 is adjourned to the closed session at a time certain of 10:30 p.m. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I do.
Teresa. Thank you, Teresa. A second?
James.
Thank you, James.
Use James.
any discussion about the agenda? All right.
I'm having trouble unmuting tonight, Julie.
Oh, go ahead. No, that's all right.
We skipped over the readout of the 7:28 closed session.
Oh, I did it before we did excused absences.
Okay. Thank you.
No worries. So any further discussion about the agenda for this evening? All right. Are there any objections to the agenda for this evening? Hearing none, the agenda is approved and we'll forge ahead then. The next item is approving the minutes of the open session of July 28th for 3 minutes.
I move to approve them.
Thank you, Jim Dingman. A second?
James. Second.
Thank you, Susan. Is there any discussion of the minutes of the July 28th meeting? Hearing none, are there any objections to approving the minutes, as submitted? And hearing no objections, those minutes are approved. Of course, if anybody, you know, goes back and looks at them and says they, you know, find something that they'd like adjusted, we can always do that at any point in time in the future. Okay, so the next item on the agenda was the CFO report and Q&A, and that's a 15-minute item. And, oh, my goodness, right on cue, Julia Kennard is here. And, Julia, do you need a moment to catch your breath before you give a CFO report?
I actually do. I literally just ran up the stairs.
Okay. Take your breath for a moment. And while you're doing that, I will just point out to people that we don't have an ED report and Q&A this evening because Stephanie Wells is out on a medical leave right at the moment. So she's not expected to be out for very long. So, and it's a planned thing. So, any rate, and so then the next item after that will be the CFO report. And one thing I will point out here is, the thing that comes after, the CFO report or committee reports, and the first of the committee reports is the audit report, the audit committee report, which was going to be a 20-minute item. And Eileen was going to come and talk about that. Eileen's not here to talk about it, but, Julia's going to cover, you know, an update on the audit as part of her CFO report. So we'll wind up, Darlene, this is kind of for your benefit. We'll wind up, you know, sort of merging those two items together. And, Julia, do you think you could give your CFO report now? Was that enough of a minute to catch your breath?
Yes. Thank you.
Go for it.
Okay, yes, we have a lot of stuff going on right now. As far as the audit and the 990, I'll talk about that first. We have seen a couple of drafts of the audit and one draft of the 990. I did receive the final information, that I needed to complete for them to complete the 990 as I was driving home tonight. So I'll be able to get that on out to them tomorrow. So they'll be able to update that initial draft tomorrow. And hopefully tomorrow we will be sending out a draft to the audit committee of the audit and the 990, because we need to have those discussed Monday night at the audit committee meeting so that they can then be reviewed at the, you know, sent out in time for you guys to see them and review them in time for the PNB meeting that hopefully we will be able to have Thursday night to get everything approved so we can close the deal on that. So that's where we are with that. Our main challenge that we've been focusing on this week, obviously I'm working on closing out July. So we'll have financials at the PNB, not this upcoming PNB NFC meeting, but the regular NFC meeting. That's the second meeting of the month. We'll have that. Cash is the struggle for next week. The KPFK and WBAI are my bigger concerns right now. I'm a little less concerned about WBAI because if they do their regular, you know, daily average with their fundraising, I think they have the potential to make payroll. They've been paying, trying to catch up on some past due items that they needed to catch up on. So that is part of the reason for that. Still needing to increase the daily average that they're bringing in, but I'm just saying right now they do not have them out for payroll, but I think there's the potential for them to get there by their next, whenever the 11th is. Is that Wednesday? Yeah. So KPFK, on the other hand, they are getting ready to start a fund drive on the 9th. I do think they're going to try to kick off a little bit of, it won't be a full-blown fund drive starting tomorrow night at midnight, but I think they recognize that we're going to have a problem with them funding payroll. It looks, so we're trying to figure that out, where that gap is going to come be covered from, because they have the electricity due next week, as well as of course, a fairly decent size payroll to cover. So I've been working very closely with Stephanie and, of course, Ali and I can't remember if we're supposed to say staff members' names or not, but the local management at KPFK, trying to make sure that everyone's fully aware of where we stand with that. WPFW, I'm not worried about them making payroll next week. They do have some cash, but they seem to be kind of in a tug of war right now with trying to decide, they want to do what we've all wanted to do, which is kind of change that fundraising format and move away from pitches and things like that, and go into the more traditional fundraising where you would be developing the relationships with, you know, longtime listeners who have supported before and really looking more for the major gifts and major support. It's just, it's a hard to cut it off, and still be able to have the cash. So I think they're trying to work through that. I know there's a call this weekend, I believe, where there will be some discussion about that, but, you know, August is a big month for them, the beginning of a quarter for them, or their little quarter cycle that they do with their fundraising that has worked before. While it's not what everybody necessarily likes, it has kept them able to pay their bills and stay current and fund payroll and central services. So I know they're a little stressed, you know, about this transition and how they're fundraising right now. Really no other changes with the other stations. Again, I don't believe that anything has happened dramatically at KPFT yet with their fundraising. So, you know, at some point they're going to have to, that's a different issue. They've got to get their fundraising going. So I do know that they've got to get that going on with trying to get the station open and things like that. So, I did start a list today. I needed to clean it up. I had hoped to get it out so I could distribute it tonight of, I know you had asked for what NETA does, for Pacifica. And I do have a list typed up that I'll try to clean up while we're in this meeting. But worst case, we'll send it out tomorrow, for everyone so they have a feel for what, services need to be replaced, with our departure. Another big thing that's coming up is we are, come October 1 is the renewal for all the, commercial insurance. So, doing my usual with that, trying to get some input from people who, you know, within the organization who I feel would know some of the information, still pulling some of the data together to update the applications for the renewal, and for quotes. So nothing unusual there. But again, it's just that time of year where we renew that insurance. Did I miss anything, Julie?
No, that sounds like the high points for sure. So
we will need to make a payment for the audit for them to release the final copy of the audit and the tax return. And so that's something we've got to figure out cash wise, between that and trying to, support those who might not be able to make payroll in the short term. It's going to be, we need to make some decisions beginning of next week. And I think there are some things on the agenda to talk about that tonight.
That's right. We've got some stuff, in the closed session agenda specifically. I've got a little stack if you're ready to take questions, Julia.
Sure.
Ali, then Susan. Ali?
Yeah, I just wanted to update or clarify about KPFK. Even though we had planned to start our fund drive on August 9th, since we are so behind and looking like we're not going to make payroll, we're actually starting off our fund drive at midnight tonight. And we have a decent set of special programming planned for this weekend. Even though it is really short notice for a lot of our programmers, they've stepped up and we have something pretty good planned for this weekend. So hopefully by next week we'll be up at full speed and bringing in some funds. That's all.
Great. Somebody had texted me that it was going to be tomorrow night. So that's great news. Thanks.
No, it's midnight tonight.
Great.
Thanks, Ali. Susan Young, then Lawrence.
For all of us, and especially KPFT, are behind you 1,000%, and we're going through the week by week nail-biting problems that you are, though we have many fewer people who are at risk. Do you have, do Ali and the executive director have, and Mo have the authority you need to take emergency actions as needed? And do you need any additional authorization, in other words, action by the PNB?
Related to supporting KPFK?
Yes.
Well, I think that's a tough one. It's hard when they don't have a general manager and they have someone who's doing, you know, the best that he can. I know that they've met and discussed the programming changes that are needed. I don't know if it was just local. An email went out yesterday that was sort of a call to action of, you know, stuff has got to start changing with the programming to and building the listenership back. And I think it's just hard. There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen on that. And, you know, I don't know if Ali wants to speak to that. I know that, Stephanie is definitely very supportive as far as she's not turning her head and saying, oh, well, you didn't figure out payroll, so you're not getting paid. You know, she definitely does not have that approach. You know, we discussed that Arthur had said, oh, well, you can negotiate with the union to delay. You know, we both agreed we really don't want to do that. You can't, I mean, just I don't think any of us, or at least who are paid to work with Pacifica, are necessarily here for our health. We don't work for a nonprofit for no reason. I mean, we obviously have some passion for nonprofit work and public radio, but everybody's got bills to pay, and that was just not a route we wanted to go. So it does mean that the national office is going to continue to have bills that they cannot pay. So I can't say that there's a motion that needs to happen. I think somebody empowering, you know, in my opinion, and I'm not a public radio person lifelong like so many of you are, it is challenging. You know, even if you change programming today, you still have to have the marketing to be able to let people know that you're out there and you're doing something different. You know, how do people hear that there's something on the radio? You know, it's word of mouth takes some time. And I think that's where we are is, you know, how do we do this without the funding to promote anything new that they're doing? And I'm getting a little bit out of my bandwidth as far as marketing for public radio with that, but.
Thanks, Julia. Lawrence and then Jim Dingman. Lawrence?
Thank you, Julia. I know that's really not much to report on KPFK, but so I have a couple of questions. The first question is, how much, if you could divulge that information in the open stream, how much is it that we need to pay the auditor in order to have the audit release?
The portion of the payment that's due would be about $35,000.
Okay. Thank you. And then in regards to, and maybe Ali could chime in on this one, do we have anything towards being able to make payroll at all, Ali, or are we at bare bones?
Could you repeat the question? I missed the first part of that.
Okay. So do we have anything towards payroll? Do we, in regards to cash? Are we at bare bones?
Well, and I don't know if you were asking Ali that. I'll answer for him since I did go over payables. We discussed cash last week, but obviously I know a lot more with the day to day. We need to be able to fund payroll and electricity on the same day, the 11th next week. KPFK needs $40,000. If we don't fund electricity, which is really not an option, then we need, I think it was like $28,000 or $27,000. I don't have my spreadsheet up in front of me, but I pretty much have those numbers memorized. So we still, even if we didn't pay the electric, got them to give us a grace period of a couple days. I just have to be careful with that because that can trigger some things. But yeah, that, you know, electricity is going to be about 14,000. And what did I say? We needed 40.
Yeah.
So, and then of course, thankfully it looks like, we have the, costs for the call center. It looks like, staff has negotiated. I noticed on that they are giving us a month to pay that, whereas normally they draft it out of our account as soon as the fund drive starts, and that's at least $5,000. If I go by what the invoice was that I received today or yesterday, I saw that it had a September 2nd date on it, which is nice on their part. So somebody, must have spoken. Terry must have spoken to a better answer and gotten them to do that.
So one last follow-up question, because I think I have a little bit of time. In regards to Mo Thomas, the IGM, did send out an email soliciting input in regards to new ideas, and it seems to be open to somewhat refreshing the programming grid. Ali, can you also speak to that? Are you being staff rep? Please.
I'm not sure what the question is. Mo sent that out to the PNB and everyone's seen that. They can read it and come to their own conclusions, and they can ask Mo directly what he's talking about. I'm sorry I can't elaborate. I don't know.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you, Chair.
Timekeeper question.
Yeah, go ahead, Darlene.
Julie, are we adding the 20-minute audit committee report to this section with time with Julia?
Well, I don't know that we're really adding the time so much as I think Julia covered it in as much as it's going to be able to be covered this evening because, you know, as she previewed, it's not the case that, we put it on as a 20-minute item thinking that we might have everything with the audit and the 990 done, and that's not quite the case. So,
And then we need people to make a motion to extend time.
Because we're at the end of the 15
minutes. We're at the end of time, yeah.
Okay. So I do still have Jim Dingaman, Darlene, and Teresa on the stack. So, maybe can I get a motion to extend for something like 10 minutes?
Yeah, so moved.
Second.
Thank you, Jim and Lawrence. Any objections to the motion to extend for 10? Okay, hearing none. We're extended for 10. So, Jim Dingaman, then Darlene.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Julia. Julia, can you outline in the open stream what the commercial insurance cost factors are? What are we talking about and when do they come due and what's the breakdown of them? Thank you. And I hope your son had a good football practice today. I understand he was there.
It's fun. So he's a senior this year. So I promised myself I was not going to miss anything.
What position does he play?
He is a defensive back.
Ah, very good. Love that. Great. I will refrain. Go on. Thank you.
Okay. Insurance. Okay. So, I will have to pull that up. I don't remember the total amount off the top of my head because we switched, this year, we switched from paying lump sum like we did in prior years, I guess, when they were able to do that, to paying monthly. So, I know, for example, the D&O insurance is over $3,000 a month for 10 months. So that's $30,000. And, let's see, the rest is probably 60. Yeah, I'll have to check. I'll pull it up while we're doing this, and I can put it in the chat on the way out. But we were just looking for the total cost of it.
Yeah, I just wanted to know how it broken down. Let me just ask one more question. What's your assessment of all the units being able to make payroll in the next round here?
Well, I think that's what I was trying to say a few minutes ago, was I was obviously KPFK, unless, you know, and it happens that someone walks in and drops off a $10,000 check, or it comes in the mail, I mean, or bequests come in. It does happen. If the norm happens, KPFK will need support in funding payroll. If WBAI might be close, I'm a little less concerned with them, but the main thing is KPFK. And of course, KPFT, because they have limited to no unrestricted funds. So whatever they are using, they're essentially borrowing to be able to fund the payroll right now. And it is a smaller payroll, but.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Well, Darlene, then Teresa. Darlene?
Julie, it sounded like the audit is pretty much done, but is there any way to take the projected savings of, or reduction of the debt for property taxes from KPFA and have it appear on the current audit, the audit that's being worked on now?
Right. That's what held it up today, because we're trying to get through that. Maria has been great about trying to get us, you know, she's a spreadsheet whiz there, but
yes, she is.
We have to make sure that the numbers that she had given us, we just have to make sure that they're fully supported, because it is such a large number. And that's where we are, is, and that decision will be made by tomorrow, is to, if there's enough, if it's substantiated enough that they feel comfortable, because they don't want to, reverse too much of that accrual.
Right.
For that. And, so we're right on the fence. Like, we're just catching it. Like, there's a good chance, but, I haven't heard back this afternoon. The main auditor was reviewing that today.
Thank you.
There's a good chance it might be there.
Okay. Thank you.
And we obviously know that would be nice to have. So, you know, trying to do what we can.
Exactly. Teresa, then Lawrence.
I must say the news about the taxes at KPFA was very, very good news. So I have two questions. Number one, have we found, is there any good news of other means that we have found to either reduce expenses or bring in additional monies that was maybe unexpected or that just has happened since our last meeting that you want to call to our attention? And then the second issue is, we have a personnel meeting coming up on Sunday. Has anyone from NETA been invited to attend that, as we will be working on a search for a CFO?
I have not been told that anybody has been invited. I can reach out to Cynthia and confirm. I'm just jotting that down. You said it's on Sunday?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'll ask Cynthia about that. I'm thinking no, because I feel like she probably would have mentioned that, but I'll confirm. As far as cost cutting and potential money that's come in, Ali and Mo have been working with the union to see if there is, to get that an across the board hours reduction proposal out. And I know that Stephanie was working on that the end of last week. There's supposed to be a proposal, a written proposal. The conversations have been had, and it sounds like everyone's on the same page. You know, the goal was, at least at this point, to be able to maintain benefits and keep people at least 30 hours, is my understanding. And I'm sure Ali will correct me if I'm wrong. But I think they just need the paperwork. They need the proposal. I need to confirm with Stephanie where we are with that, if Ali does not know. We did receive, the national office did receive a bequest this week, or it might have been the end of last week, the amount of $25,000, which has is what's going to be the kicker that actually well, I hope that they would be able to pay some of their bills with it, but it will need to be used to help support KPFK most likely with their payroll at this point.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I say, you know, things do happen. Like, the surprises do occur that are incredible.
But this was $25,000 in addition to the $15,000 that they got last week, right?
Right. Well, last week. Did they get $15,000 from somebody? Are you talking about KPFK?
Yes.
Yeah, that was last month, I think. And that was directly to KPFK. This bequest was to the national office. Which I was not aware was going to be coming in. They did, staff did reach out to the attorney to make sure, you know, that it truly was for the national office. Cause I know that sometimes there's concern, you know, we have to be careful. You know, the affiliates and I are swapping cash, this week a couple times because people have sent money to the wrong place. So we do have to pay attention to that. Doesn't happen that frequently. I haven't had to do that often, but it's interesting that that's happened this week twice.
Okay. Incidentally, the personnel meeting is at 5 p.m. Eastern on Sunday.
Okay.
Lawrence, you have another question?
Yes, I do. This is about the transitioning of NEDA. From what I understand, there are a lot of emails that come from Pacifica. But those emails, since you have your own server and do not use the server for NEDA, I mean, do not use the Pacifica server, will you be turning those over when the relationship expires?
Do you mean like the fact that I received like invoices that are emailed or just all of our emails?
All of the emails, and maybe that's not a fair request, but everything that you could possibly share with Pacifica that is right now being sent to the NEDA server.
Yeah, I definitely, like, there are some people who I feel like I kind of know now because we email back and forth about where's your payment. And I did, like, a couple of people I have said, hey, you know, let them know that I won't be the person after September 30th. But I definitely will be making sure that that contact information is changed, so that nothing slips between the cracks with, you know, new invoices and things that are coming in. As far as the email goes, I did reach out to our head of IT at, NETA a couple of weeks ago since I have not done this before, as far as leaving a client and making sure that everything is packaged properly. We have a lot of stuff, like all of the stuff in our data, document management system. I've got to go through that whole process of making sure that that's put in a format that is accessible, to the people who would need it. Unfortunately, it is, divided up by the units, which is good. The document, you know, the ones that we would need. So that would be the affiliates, the national office, and then WBAI, PFW, and KPFK, any of the invoices, things like that that we work from, check copies, check registers, all that stuff. It's already segregated by unit. I just need them to tell me how we get it out and properly get it to you guys securely. So that's on our work list.
Thank you, Judy. I'm just thinking that as a business practice, the transitioning is, that should be part of the transition process, right?
Yes. And I've also suggested that, I don't know if this is a meeting or National Finance Committee meeting, some meeting, that if you look into a document management system, you can't have all this stuff strewn everywhere. You need to have one centralized thing where you can assign, access to people.
I believe it was the National Finance Committee meeting, Julia. Thanks.
Thank you.
Time.
Okay, great. And we exhausted the stack too. So, we'll move on. As I noted, the audit committee was the next item on the agenda, but, Julia covered that in her CFO report. After that comes the coordinating committee meeting, and the 3-minute report on that is that the coordinating committee came up with the agendas for tonight's meeting at our last meeting, which was last week, and I don't think there's anything else to report from that. Next is Finance Committee, Jim Sagerton. Is there anything you would like to report?
Just real quickly, I can report we caught up with the May and June financials at our last meeting. At our next meeting, as Julia mentioned, she's hoping to have the July. We are going to make a stab at the KPFA budget. We all know that Quincy is moving on, but we hope to have him there prior to that to review their budget with us. And then we're going to be turning, rather than at this late point doing a futile effort to pursue budgets for KPFK and the national office, which is very difficult to do because there's no cash flow there, and it's hard to budget when you don't have the money. But many stations aren't paying the central services. So we're going to turn to trying to get budgets for next year in a timely manner. And then hopefully next year, instead of spending time creating budgets for the year that we're in, we'll be able to be reviewing how the stations are performing and adjust the budgets as we go along. And other than that, I just, once again, just in case we don't get another chance to say it, I hope that we will. I assume that we will. But I want to thank Julia for her service as our CFO. She's done a fantastic job. Anita before her. Netta was a real assist for Pacifica getting its house back in order. And, hoping against hope that we'll find the money somewhere to keep them on month to month, especially after September 30th to do our audits. But I realize that's not looking likely. That's all. Thank you, Julia.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Governance Committee is next. Lawrence, again, a 3-minute report. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Shay. I think we did the Governance Committee report last week. There's nothing further at this time.
Oh, awesome. Then we're cooking with gas here. Elections Committee, is there a report from the Elections Committee? We have them down for 3 minutes.
Were there not some, did we get to our motions that were brought up that were discussed last week?
They were on last week's agenda, and last week's agenda didn't have committees, you know, committee reports on it. So it just carried over as unfinished business to the unfinished mm-hmm. business of tonight's agenda. So it's there. So I guess, you know, in some sense, it would be duplicative to, you know, do it both here and there. So, you know, maybe we'll just motor through the committee reports and then you know, take that big chunk of time that's in the unfinished business.
Okay.
Susan Young.
There's a vacancy on elections by virtue of Donald Goldmacher's resignation.
Yes.
And we are to, and we all agreed that there needed to be a Terry Goodman conducted ballot.
We did exactly do that. And I will just report to everyone that we have to work with Terry Goodman first to, you know, come up with a little timeline and to do that election for the KPFA seat on actually two committees. It's
we confirmed audit.
Yeah. So it is the elections committee that's left. So we'll take care of that. And, hopefully we'll be able to conduct that fairly quickly, in via email, but apologies that we haven't already gotten to that. But yes, we'll do that. Thank you for that reminder.
My hand is still up.
Go ahead, Teresa.
In regard to that, I think we didn't take nominations because Mark was not here last week and they thought, well, maybe Mark wants to run. And then Akio was nominated and James McFadden was nominated. But I'm wondering if we're going to have a vote, if there will be a time when they can make a statement as to their qualifications or the reasons why they want to serve on this committee before people vote?
I think that's reasonable. I don't think we thought about doing that on tonight's agenda. I apologize for that. Although we didn't, nobody raised it when we were talking about, approving the agenda. So, how do people feel about, written statements that candidates could issue instead of, actual time during a PMB meeting? If people feel okay about, written statement, they don't have to be a book, right? It's just whatever you feel like saying in a paragraph or two to, support your candidacy, is good enough for me. At any rate, any objections to trying to do that as electronically? Lawrence, go ahead.
I'm not in opposition to that recommendation. I just would like the statements to be read over the stream, so our people know where these candidates stand. If that's okay.
I'm on elections, Chair.
Yes, thank you. Fair enough, Lawrence. We don't have those to read this evening, obviously, so we'll have to do that at our next meeting. Okay. Thank you, Darlene. I'm just making myself a note.
Like a 1-minute statement, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Generally speaking, I think when we let people speak at PMB meetings, it's the typical, you get 90 seconds and, you ought to be able to say it, kind of the high points. And if people want to write more than that, I suppose they can, but probably what I would read would be, over the stream would be a short version. So, next item on the agenda was the programming committee, and that's a 10-minute item, and it says see appendix for motions, but if I'm correct, well, I'll turn it over to Heather, but I think, the plan was to have motions, but maybe there isn't a motion. So go ahead, Heather. Did we lose Heather?
No, I'm here. Hold on just a moment. I will say the program committee will have motions, and certainly at the next meeting, we will, but there was this other motion. Oh my goodness, I had it here. Just a minute. We did present this. This is something that we presented before. We never really had an adequate chance to talk about it. So I'm going to ask, let me see. The Pacifica National Programming Committee asked the PMB to pass the following motion. And I'm going to ask, Jim Digman, do you want to present this?
Which motion are we talking about, Heather?
So this is as the program committee be improved at all five stations. This is what Grace had offered to the programming committee. The PMB asked the executive director to ensure that the following Pacifica programming policies be implemented at all five stations.
I think we've already adopted that.
Yeah, I think that was adopted. I think the motion that might have come out was one that Ollie was talking about the aggregation to the various.
Yeah, but we're gonna hold off on that and do okay. That at the next meeting, Jim. So
okay, very
just
good.
Want you to know. Yeah.
Very good.
So I guess we've already passed. My apology, everyone. I guess we've already passed these motions.
No worries.
Sorry, Julie. Thank you.
Yeah. No worries. We've had a lot on our plate and we've met a lot. And, it is difficult to remember what we do from meeting to meeting sometimes.
We will have a motion at the next meeting. However, I just want everybody to know, but I won't go into details on that right now.
Got it. Great. So, thank you. All right. Okay. Cool. Next up is Strategic Planning Committee. I believe that's Jim Dingman.
All right. There have been a division of labor into subcommittees. So there have been several meetings to deal with underwriting. Alex has been leading that. And I believe the next meeting that's coming up, which will be an open session, it's being scheduled for this coming Monday, it'll be open and closed session. It will handle the question of underwriting. Now, what has occurred is that we've been working together with the programming committee, and we've had several meetings on news programming as one subset of the content of the air. We're going to start in a week to start dealing with music programming. In other words, we're going to bring in music producers throughout the country and the affiliates, talk about what are the best practices for music programming, because some stations, like the one you come from, Julie, or KPFT, gets a tremendous amount of its revenue from music programming. So the objective will be to enhance that. Then we'll move to dealing with public affairs programming, because that tends to be rather poor throughout the network. We're going to try to deal with Spanish language programming as a subset, training, music, art, arts, and various subsets of that, including podcasting. And that'll be a lot of work we'll do in coordination with the programming committee for the rest of the next couple of months. The objective is to come up with new kinds of ways and basically increase morale, because it's really great to get people from around the country working together. It's a turn on, frankly. And I think that that's the objective, to really sit there and break down the content of the air and make sure that we can get some marginal improvements that will have an immediate effect on fundraising in terms of the marathons that different stations are doing.
Great. Thanks. Susan Young appears to have a follow-up question for Jim. Go ahead, Susan.
It's probably for Jim or Heather. We adopted motions to require all stations to provide certain lists of data. And I have followed up with you, Jim, and you said that you have received it from WBAI and some from others. I would like to ask you, what would really help me would be if you could, based on the information you have received from WBAI, tell us the kind of analysis that you will use that data for to provide a critical review of WBAI programming. It would be a great kind of pilot project so that everybody could understand the value of providing that data.
All right. I've actually provided an analysis to the executive director in the past week about this very issue concerning not only WBAI but all the stations. So the need is that the data is to get fundraising data on an hour-by-hour basis from each station, and also Nielsen ratings going as far back as possible, and that's to be dealt with in the closed session in greater detail. This is information, I believe I've sent it to a lot of people here, but certainly what we've gathered can certainly be shared. It's basically to see where the weaknesses are and what can we learn from other stations that are doing better in terms of their segments. And that's the objective of getting information. Frankly, you know, we're a radio network, and this is the product that we are selling to the public. So that's the bottom line on it. 95% of our money coming in right now is from listener members, basically asking for the support of our content. In terms of your question regarding WBAI,
on this issue,
I have, can give you a quick summary. The morning show is doing very well. It gets about, 5,000 to 10,000 people an hour in terms of aggregate listeners from Nielsen. The problems that are occurring is similar to what's occurring at other stations. There are large numbers of shows that have been on the air at all the stations, but particularly the ones that are going through financial problems, that essentially don't have anybody listening to them and don't bring any money. So that kind of decision as to what to do with that has to come rather quickly. It should have happened years ago. But the data will speak for itself. So that's the objective of the data.
Thanks, Jim. Darlene noted that we're at time. So unless there are other questions, we'll move on to the personnel committee.
Yeah, I have one question. This is Lawrence. Matt, do you recognize?
You would need to...
I'd like to stand for 2 minutes, colleagues.
Okay. Is there a second to Lawrence's motion?
Second.
Thank James. You. Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for two? Hearing none. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. So I know WBAI has excellent programming, but I look at the success model right now from WPFW, and I'm just wondering if the programming committee has taken a look at the way WPFW's programming have been able to sustain them in regards to slightly more than breaking even. I don't know if anybody from PFW could speak on that, but on this question to the chair and the gym, has that been on your radar as well?
What I can add is I know that WPFW sent the data that Jim Dingman requested, or at least as, you know, as close as the data as we could get. And so, Jim, that's the best I can answer. Do you want to respond?
Yeah, I prefer Lawrence to deal with that in closed session since it has to deal with personnel issues.
Chair, right. if I could attempt to clarify the question. The question was, Jim, if we have to go into closed session to deal with the data that you got, but I'm just thinking of the model that WPFW is modeling right now that's helping them sustain themselves. I'm just wondering if the programming committee took a look at that.
We have not gotten the data in sufficient strength to make a fact-based judgment on what's going on there at PFW, nor have we gotten the data sufficient in any substance to do that with KPFA, the most successful stations. But what I can say about the model at WPFW is when I did do the audience study, they have the largest audience and market share of any station in the system. They're at, I believe, a 0.7, a 0.8 of their market, which is higher than any of the other stations. The numbers for BAI and for KPFA and for the others are range from 0.2, 0.3, something like that in general. So what I see in their market, in their fundraising, is most of the music is mainly music. And the public affairs shows they have tend to be emphasized, at least from my, and I'm now giving a professional opinion, they have rather high-produced public affairs shows. Sue Goodwin is only doing a one-hour show, and here's somebody who used to work for NPR. So anyway, it's a different model they have, and it may or may not be applicable to other stations and other markets, but it's something to study. I agree, Lawrence.
All right. Thanks.
Time again.
Yeah. So next up is the Personnel Committee. I believe that's Beth for a 3-minute report.
Sorry, I had to get unmuted. Yes, just very briefly, the Personnel Committee, the National Personnel Committee held its preliminary meeting of the year on July the 5th in closed session. We'll meet again this coming Sunday at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time to scope out our work for the coming month. And given that it was all in closed session, that's as much as I'm free to report in open session. Thank you.
Got it. Great. Next up is the Development Task Force. We have 5 minutes for that one. Go ahead, Beth.
Yes. So the National Development Task Force held its regular monthly meeting on Monday, July 25th, 2022. Excuse me. With 15 participants, including Pacifica Executive Director Stephanie Wells. The focus of discussion for the month was the pros, cons, and potential best practices related to underwriting in anticipation of a major clarification and update of Pacifica policy. We had a pretty robust discussion. People were interested enough that I held the line open for another half an hour beyond what we had scheduled, and there was more yet to say. Because it's a task force, there's no place, there's no provision online to post that audio. I've had several requests for it, and so I'll be working with Otis to see if we can't find some place to post that in anticipation of the other discussions going on regarding underwriting, too. The next regular meeting of the task force will be Monday, August 22nd at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. Sorry, I've been out in the wind. Other questions? Thank you.
Thanks. Ali, question?
Yeah, and sorry if this was mentioned or if I missed it. Was there anything out of personnel about working on finding new business manager, or is that a process that hasn't started yet?
That's a process that hasn't started yet, and will be on the agenda at this upcoming meeting. It hadn't come up yet when we met the last time.
That's right. Got it. Thanks, Beth. Next up is the COVID-19 task force. But Lawrence, is there anything to report?
There's nothing to report. We are about to convene a meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Jim. Great. Thank you. And then finally, in terms of the committee reports, in which case, if we finish the let me congratulate us after we're done. Technology task force, Jim Dingman. Go ahead.
Yeah, last meeting we had, we were going over the Edison. Edison does a study on media and audio, so we did a pretty good session on that. But I actually wanted to report some interesting stuff that just happened. The reason I sent that piece by Mark Fisher, the Washington Post, on Larry Josephson is Mark Fisher did a brilliant book called Something in the Air, which is a study of the FM revolution in the 60s and 50s. And I had a long conversation with him, and he's agreed to come on and talk about that book. And that would be a jump-off point. I know Heather's been talking about the question of publicizing community radio, what's specific about. But Mark has agreed to come on and do a seminar, essentially, based on the book, which will be a produced, basically a produced radio show. But we're going to do that in the next couple of weeks, and everyone's invited to contribute to that. That's it.
Good. Thank you. Okay, now I will congratulate us because we made it through all the committee reports, and it's 9:39. So we are doing pretty well timing-wise. While we still have a whole bunch of stuff to do and under unfinished business, it's a journey. We should be able to adjourn to a closed session at a time certain of 10:30 without too much trouble. I would just like to, note for Marianna Dane's, benefit that it appears that, Avelia Jones has joined the call.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you.
So,
I have a question, Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Darlene.
And this is because I could not unmute. So while you were saying it's great that it's done, I was struggling over here. My question to Jim is when you say, Mark Fisher is going to do a program or a seminar, is that at the technology task force?
Correct. Because part of the reason is we want to have that sort of flow in to discussing and bringing in other authors and analysts who can deal with the digital technology, because there's a big fight going on all the time about people about radio and this and that. And we know that the statistics show that there's been a complete shift digitally. So we're going to bring other authors to talk about that. But I figured it'd be fun to do that because, you know, it's a really interesting book. I recommend it to everybody. And it sort of sets the stage historically of about how we get to this point. And I'm a historian, so I take that approach to do that kind of stuff.
Okay, thank you.
good question, Darlene, and that didn't put us way behind where we were anyway. So